Got excited when I started to see the flags being waved around in this church building. It's awesome to have such liberty and freedom in the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And I said to Leonard, we should have a checkered flag. Yay, because we're bikers. Yay, what a checkered flag. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. High five three people around you. Of as jy nie hê, hulle moet aan jou raak nie. Sê net, los my uit. Moet jy my vatty? Don't touch. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Oh, I don't know how many songs I've absolutely ruined from this pulpit, isn't it? People go, I don't know what it is. Like, the same lyrics and like the tune, but some people just, I don't know, they get millions and millions for it. I just go and ruin the song. Hallelujah. It's my privilege and my honor to bring the Word of God again to you this morning. How many of you noticed there's a small little difference in the church building this morning? Just a small little difference. Hallelujah. Just a small little difference. God is good for those people that helped us. We're trying to arrange that when I'm here, that's not there. But for now, we won't be able to bring it online. So if that's distracting to you, apologize for that. But we're working on that. Let's just focus on what God wants to do in our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. But your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You want to follow on screen or on your phones or devices. Now, folks watching this online, welcome. We trust that God will meet you where you're at. For the regular faithful folks attending, bless you. Thank you, and thank you always for your generous participation in the offering. We know that you don't do it to please anybody, but you sow into faithful, fertile soil as unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Father, we bless and thank you for the privilege that we have to read your word this morning. Hemelse Vader, ons neem dit nie vanselfspreek in die feit dat ons 'n voorreg het om enige tyd, enige plek, 'n Bybel te kan oopmaak. Ons kan dit lees op ons fone, ons kan dit sien op die internet, en ons kan vrylik die woord van God bestudeer. Daar is mense wat vervolg is vir dit, wie se lewens geneem is omdat dit besit gevind is van die woord. Ons het daai voorreg in hierdie land nog steeds om op vryheid te kan bid. And as you gather around your word this morning, Lord, you promise waar twee of meer vergader is in u naam, is u teenwoordig daarso in ons midde. It's great to see each other like this, but Lord, you are welcome here in our midst. En Here, ek belei en weer eens besef ek is afhanklik van u. Ek het niks om vir die mense te sê wat verskil kan maak in hulle lewens. But one word from you can change our lives forever. So move beyond the limitations of my speech and give to every precious soul here this morning exactly what he or she needs to hear to make a godly difference in their lives. To the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. This message this morning is called What Jesus Saw from the Cross. There's a song that says, went to many years ago, and says, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but his love for you and you and you and me. What did Jesus see when he was on the cross? There's a couple of key words in this passage of Scripture, and this is the kind of Scripture where you can preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because it's got so much truth, it's got so much wealth, it's got so much blessing and promises in. But some things I want to focus on just quickly. It mentions, let us strip down every weight that slows us down and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Wie van julle het nodig dat iemand na jou toe kom en vir jou sê wat die sonde is in jou lewe? Wie van julle het dit nodig? Niemand nie, nee. Ons almal weet het. But the weight? You see, weight is something that slows you down that's not necessarily sin. I've used this example before. If Drake Maitland, that swimmer. Drake Maitland wants to set a world record. He can't jump into the swimming pool with a long man bun or a ponytail. Is he sinning by having his hair cut? No, most certainly not. But to achieve that specific goal, you'll have to have short hair. So there might be certain things in your life, it's not necessarily sin, but it's slowing you down in achieving the purposes that God has set for you in your life. Het nie nodig dat iemand na jou toe kom en sê, hey, die en daai is verkeerd, broer. Ons weet het, man, ons te gewete. Sommige van ons gewete is al so gebrand dat het gevoelloos is, maar nog steeds. Jy weet, jy is bezig om droog te maak. Ons lag lekker, nee, dit is die waarheid. Ja, wel. But the weight, may God give us the discernment to, om te kan onderskei, wat is hierdie gewete wat ons aan teruggaan? Especially those, and then says the sin that easily trips us up. And then it says, let us run with endurance. My God, the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing and what he was prompting in the heart of the writer. The Bible doesn't give us an outright guarantee that it was Paul, but most theologians and Bible students believe that it's all probability Paul that wrote this letter to the Hebrews. It says, let us run with endurance. There's three kinds of muscle fibers in our body. Some of us have more muscle fibers than others. My muscles are nice and round. They're round here somewhere. Moenie lag nie. My muscles are hard, eh? Hard to find. Come on, man. I'll use my imagination, yeah. Fake it until you make it. You get speed, strength, and endurance fibers in your muscles. The strongest man in the world, there ain't no way he's going to run a 15-kilometer marathon. He can pick up 200 and plenty. I checked this out of this, he bench presses 250 kilograms, yalla. For a couple of sets, who do need it? But these strength fibers are developed in his muscles. And these other folks are hardlebanete. They just run and run and run. The Bible says the wicked run when no one chases them, but I don't know, it's the Bible. But they got endurance fibers in their muscles that have been developed for endurance. And then you get speed fibers. Those they're so fast, they beat their own shadow. I'm going to draw my gun now. You want to see it again? Die owns. The speed fibers are developed. God knew that we're going to need endurance in this walk of faith. He knew it's not going to be a walk in the park. He knew Africa is not for sissies, but Christenskap ook nie. What I find is so amazing, it's amazing that the people that never go to church are always telling the people in the church how they should live. And they say, I gaan nie kerk toe nie because that church is full of hypocrites. Well, they're a couple of pews closer to the things of God than the people that don't even set their foot in. Just pick up your cross and you start trying to follow Jesus on a daily basis. Let's see how well you do. Come on. Maar as vinnig om vinger te wys, ja, those hypocrites, wara, 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 wara. Just try your daily walk with Jesus. And let's see how far you get. Isn't it true? God knew that we going to need endurance. How many of you know that we need endurance in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen? Dear Lord Jesus, we need endurance in this country. Hey. Yo. And then it says, how do we do this? How do we endure? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Nou, ek moet eerlik met julle wees volgende. Vir my, hier so, in 'n atmosfeer soos die, so maklik om my oë op Jesus gevestig te hou. But just let something go wrong, this break, and this person don't do this, and that person don't do that, and I hear this report about this family broken up, and about this person losing his job, and about this person dying of that or whatever, and somebody does something in the traffic, and then I want to get on my bike, and then the tires porridge, and... Jy verskil ek, ons is 'n bietjie moeiliker om my oë op Jesus gefestig te hou, nê? Ons is moeiliker om daarso te staan en sê, "Halleluja, halleluja." Come on. How do we do this? By keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is, he's the champion. I love it in the strong. He's the champion, man. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross. Folks, how many of you have sat somewhere, maybe it's a fancy restaurant or whatever, and you're sitting there and all of a sudden there's this... Jy wil daar ding doodmaak, nee. Come on, Yella. Imagine God. The scripture teaches us that Jesus is God in the flesh. He took on an earth suit. God could have fought at any moment, wipe these oaks out. But He didn't. He let them come for Him. He let them arrest Him. He let them strip off His clothes. He let them spit in His face. He let them slap Him and mock Him, abuse Him, force a crown of thorns into His head, drive nails through His hands. He let them force a sword, a spear in His side. And at any moment, He didn't have to scream, "God, help me, He is God." He could have just fought it and in a moment wiped them out. But it says He endured the cross. Why? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him. What was the joy set before Jesus? What was it? We look at four things this morning. Four things that Jesus saw from the cross. No particular order. Scripture teaches us these things. What Jesus saw when He hung from the cross was the following. Number one, Jesus saw mankind redeemed to God. He saw us restored to our original place of an open relationship with God. Before the garden, mankind had that privilege of walking with God in the coolness of the day, enjoying His presence and His company, having open fellowship. And mankind surrendered that over to God. Then the scripture teaches that the sons of man and Satan as well presented themselves before. Adam lost that spot, that privileged spot before God. He lost it. Satan occupied that place. The Bible says that the God of this age, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We had that place of privilege. The joy that was set before Jesus, He saw mankind restored to God. He saw mankind restored to that place that was once His. He saw the devil taken away from there and mankind restored to His rightful place of open, free fellowship with God. That's what Jesus saw when He hung on the cross. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, "It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He's turned away and will not listen anymore." And on the cross, Jesus saw that being fixed and made right. The first point is, Jesus saw mankind redeemed to God. Point number two, Jesus saw His authority given to us. Him being the servant king. Him being the one who came to serve and not be served. Him being the one who taught us how to wash each other's feet. Yes, even Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. He washed his feet too. Imagine that. Washing the feet of the one you know is going to betray you for 30 pieces of silver? Really? Is that all Jesus was worth to Judas? 30 pieces of silver. He washed his feet too. That's this Jesus. So this authority that he had, he didn't want to hold on to it. He came to give us that authority. Folks, that is beautiful. That's beautiful. He came to give us that authority. That's what Jesus saw on the cross. Us being restored to open free fellowship with the Father, our authority, his authority being given to us. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Jesus, he said that at the end of his ministry, and towards the end of his ministry, John writes this that Jesus says in John 20 and verse 21, it says, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And you think of how God sent Jesus into the world. Think of Jesus' humble beginnings. It wasn't with fanfare and pomp and a huge parade. I mean, have you seen the preparations they make for the Oscar ceremonies or the Golden Globe Awards or the Emmy Awards? It's paparazzi and it's red carpets and it's bands and it's music and it's ticker tape parades and it's these golden flakes that get released with fireworks. And Jesus, where was he born? In the feeding trough of animals. In a manger. The place where animals fed. That's where Jesus was born. Now Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you like that also. Humble beginnings. Faithful. Not who Jesus ek. Ek hierdie groot Christen. I'll never make it. I'll never be a groot Christen. Look at me. I'm just saying. No, I don't know what a groot Christen is, but I understand the context in which people say there's a gelovige mens. He's a groot Christen. This is Jesus. And God, he says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's good. We have these expectations about how lacquer Christianity is going to be. The people that you come to serve and the people that you come to love, the more he showed his love for them, the more they disliked what he had to say, to the point where they decided, okay, the only way we're going to keep this oak quiet is by nailing him to a cross. I say again, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's kind of sheds a different light on Christianity, doesn't it? As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So the second thing that Jesus saw, he saw his authority given to us. Two more to go. Are you still with me, church? Is this meaning something to you this morning? The next thing that Jesus saw when he was on the cross, Jesus saw evil conquered by good. Ek weet nie waar julle julleself bevind vandag nie, maar in vandag se politieke klimaat, kort, vind ek myself in 'n plek waar ek wil net wapens optel en goed begin regstel. Een patroon op 'n slag. I'm just being real with you. There are other times I said, Lord Jesus, just come. Just come back. Those that are not ready, a little kans gehad. There's churches all over, they don't go to them. Hulle wil nie hoor nie, hulle wil nie luister nie. Hulle het al klaar besluit, hulle wil voortgaan en voortvoeter op hulle eie. Just come back, Jesus. If they're not ready, it doesn't matter. Just come back. I just want Jesus to come and settle this once and for all. And if there was somebody praying this prayer 30 years ago, yeah, before I was saved, where would I be today? I'd be in hell, shoveling coals. That's where I'd be. And for the sake of the unsaved yet, that God is taking his time, because he doesn't want anybody ending up in hell. That's why that's the only delay I can see. There's a couple of unfulfilled prophecies, just a few, the signing of the peace treaty in the Middle East, and then there's a few places where the gospel's still not preached. And once that's happened, there's no unfulfilled prophecy, and then Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Some of you are excited about it. Some of you are like, yes, I get them. Yeah, it's like, that's why we come to church, to be challenged like this. To be challenged like this. So the thing that Jesus saw, he saw evil overcome with good. Now, when bad things happen, I find myself often in a place where I try and overcome evil with evil. So people do acts of hate, and then I confessed openly with a care group this week. I said, guys, I've got to guard my heart against that root of bitterness and hatred getting hold of my heart. Because if I let that happen and I stand here, you know what I'll be? I won't be the pastor of a congregation. I'll be yet another false prophet. A clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. Because I can quote scriptures like the angel Gabriel, but if I have bitterness and hatred in my heart, I'm a false prophet. Come on. So I have to guard against those things creeping into my heart. How do we overcome evil? People say you've got to fight fire with fire. People, listen. Ecclesiastes, Predica, says there's a time and a place for that. There is a time and a place for warfare. But you've got to make sure that God has made it clear in no uncertain terms that that's the time for that. Until such time, we've been given instruction to overcome evil with good. That's practical Christianity lived out. That's, om het zo te stel, that's where the men are separated from the boys. The mice from the, the men from the mice. That's when it gets real. That's where Christianity is at its hardest, to overcome evil with good. So that's what Jesus saw. He saw evil being overcome with good. Romans 12, verse 21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And this came to my heart when I was preparing. It's like God was saying this. Satan, we've all seen what you've done to mankind. Now I'm going to show you what my children can do. And he lets men and women of faith, full of the Spirit, into the world to overcome evil with good. It's like God saying, all right, Satan, we've seen what you've done, how you've stealed, killed, and destroyed, how you've lied. Now I'm going to show you what my children can do. My children can overcome the forces of hell by simply doing godly good. That's what Jesus saw from the cross. The fourth thing that Jesus saw from the cross. He saw his specific plans for you coming to pass. He saw the results of your salvation. You see, folks, you're not just saved so that you can be saved from hell one day. Just come to church and get spiritually fat and fed up and sit back there and say, impress me, pastor. What have you got for me today? Listen, there's going to come a point where you start thinking, oh, is he going to preach about that again? You know what it means when you're at that stage? It means you have to get off your blessed assurance. You have to leave this building, go out into the mission field, and start living out what you've been taught. If you're at that stage where you're thinking, oh, doesn't he have something deeper to preach on this morning? Then it means you're full. You must go out and give and pour out what you've been made full of so that you can come back and be filled again. A humble man will learn from John, get excited about John 3:16 and learn from a child. You suk deep preacher? Hebrews chapter 6 speaks about the basic elementary things, the basics of Christianity. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead. The basics of Christianity. So when was the last time you raised somebody from the dead, sir? Dan kom je kerkje en zeg, ach, ja, hij preekt niet diep genoeg, nee. I need a deeper, ek het woord nodig. Go out and start practicing what you've been taught. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Ek nie kwaad met julle nie, hoor. Ek like julle 'n stukkie meer en oor 1000. I love you all. So that's what Jesus saw. He saw his specific plans for us coming to pass. He saw the results of our salvation? What are the results of our salvation? Right, jy het jou hart vir die Here gegee. Dis fantasties. Maar die tragedie is, soveel mense stop dan net daar. Hulle gee hulle hart vir die Here en niks meer nie. Nie hulle tyd nie, nie hulle skills nie, nie hulle gawes nie, nie hulle finansies nie. My hart vir die Here gegee, halleluja. Mense, stop dit nou. I'm so glad you've given your life to the Lord, your heart to the Lord. But my brother, my sister, what about the rest of your life? What about the rest of your life? You see, luister hierso. Please, God, no. Not everybody has to be a big blabbermouth like me. I wouldn't be able to handle a competition. No. Everybody's got different ways. I heard a beautiful testimony from somebody in this church who... Hierdie hele biking ding was vir hulle weird, hoor. And this church where everybody just hugs everybody, this weird. This spiky to feel, but I just have my space and it's hello, where is it? And so they distant, they hid around the corners. And one of the quietest members in this church would go and find them, take them by the arm, say, come so. Not the warra, ha, 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 type of person like me. One of the quietest people in this church would go and take that person and gently welcome them in and love them into a place of open fellowship. So you've got gifts and talents that God has placed in you. There's salvations waiting on the other side of your obedience. Think about that. Salvation. Somebody's eternal destiny being changed, waiting on the other side of your obedience. You might be praying, Lord, I'm asking for this, and yet, wanneer gaan dit gebeur? And all of heaven is just waiting for you to take that first step of faith and be the you that God has called you to be. You know that you are the best you that God has ever created? 5 million sperms competed to get to that egg and ovary, and you outswam them all. You're a hero of conception. Come on. You're unique and special, man. You outswam the rest of them. 5 million other competitors, you beat them all. And you got to that ovary first. Boom, and that combination of DNA and the X and Y chromosomes of the man and woman. And here you are today. Praise the living God. And that's what Jesus saw. He saw the results of your salvation. He saw the time when one day you'd say yes to Jesus. One day you're going to boodskap hoor waar iemand te altar call doen and you say, ja, Here, ek gee my hart vir u. He saw that. He saw the results of your salvation. And that kept him to the cross. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This point is God saw his plans coming to pass in your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans. Sometimes I wish that I knew God's plans, but other times I'm glad he keeps them from me because ek gaan hulle opneek. That's not a swear word, is it? I'll just mess them up. It's for my own good that God keeps some of these things from me because you know what? I'll try and help God out. I'll try and help him out because I think I know just a little bit better than God. I don't know about you. I know you're all humble people. But I'll try and help God out. Sometimes it's best that he keeps his plans from me, man. So it says, he knows the plans that he has for me. And when I can handle it, when I'm mature enough, when I'm obedient enough, and when I have the courage enough to take him at his word, he reveals a little bit of that plan. A little bit of that plan. Jy sit daar so en jy wonder, hoekom die Here jou gebede nie antwoord nie? Wat het jy daaromtrent gedoen? Dit wat hy laas vir jou gesê het om te doen. Huh? Come on. What have you done about what God has last told you to do? And let's get really close to the bone this morning. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Ja, maar Here, hierdie buurman van my, he's not my neighbor, Jana. He's not my neighbor. What does it mean when it says neighbor? Your fellow man. What are we doing about that? Loving the unlovable. What are we doing about loving the unlovable? Come on, people. I'm being real with you this morning. I battle with this more often than I'd like to accept. I battle with this, and I wonder why God is not answering my prayers. What am I doing about just showing basic Christian love? So he saw his plans for us coming to pass. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're for your good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In Philippians 2 and verse 12. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I want to recap this quickly, these four things that Jesus saw from the cross. Number one, he saw mankind redeemed to God, restored to a place of open fellowship with him. He saw his authority given to us. That was his plan, not to keep it for himself. Number three, Jesus saw evil being overcome with good. And number four, he saw his specific plans come to pass in our lives. So, let's ask ourselves these demanding questions this morning. What are some of the things that we should be seeing to keep us motivated to endure hardships? So the things that you're focusing most of your attention and your time on, are they things that are motivating you? Or are they things that are just saying, you know what? Let bring my papier back. Ek wil sommer immigreer na Timbuktu. Dan sê ek daar, dan sê Timbuk 3. Bring jou baks, dan sê Timbuk 3, dan sê ook daar so. Are you staring at things that just want you to just pak en sak en buy na ander weivelde toe? Or are you looking at things that are keeping you motivated, seeing that God is still in control? Now, mense, I'm being real with you this morning. I'm being as open and transparent as I can. Just like you, somebody that is desperately following Jesus. There are times when I just want to throw in the towel. Why must I keep on keeping on? What's in it fun, man? What use is it anyway when somebody's just going to come and steal and break it and burn it and destroy it and claim it? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know we've got God. And I know he hasn't given us the answers to everything, people, but we have him. And if we got him, we're a majority. We're on the winning side. So what are some of the things that we should be seeing and we should be focusing on to keep us enduring hardships? Some of the things might be, and we can look forward to, the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and self-control. Kan jy asseblief daai liedjie vir ons reg kry? Daai Come Jesus Come. I want us to end of this song. And don't think of this song as, okay, come Lord Jesus and let the world end and the new heaven. Think of it, Lord, the difficult time that I'm facing, the difficult situation, come into that. The unfixed, menslik gesproke, unsolvable problems in this country, come into that situation, Lord. And let this be an anthem of our heart. So these are some of the things that we can look forward to. The salvation of unsaved loved ones. We can look forward to that. Yes, mense, ek het familielede, hulle werk hard aan hulle getuienisse, hoor. They're working hard on their testimonies. Because eendag gaan hulle getuig, dis hoe ek was, dis hoe ek nou is. And what Jesus has done with Jesus. So they're working hard on their testimonies. Hulle werk hard. I look forward to getting a call or one day getting together with a family again and say, Moz, guess what? I've started living for God. I long for days like that. Things that we can look forward to are changed communities. Starting in your home. Just change. Wake up and make her a cup of coffee. Bring her a bunch of flowers. And make sure she has a couch to fall back on because she can storm geslaan word. Wash the dishes. I so love coming to church. Ladies, surprise him with his favorite meal. Any McDonald's near Mr. Delivery anywhere. Put on a nice dress for him. Go and have your hair, your nails done with his card. Hey, I don't know why the Holy Spirit is taking me down this route, but ladies, how are you being your girlfriend to your husband? Why is it so quiet now? How are you being your girlfriend to your husband? Men? How are you trying to charm this daughter of God? You want it to open up to you like a flower? Treat her like the daughter of God that she is. Let's go on based on Ayri Liki. Lord God, you, as we have reminded ourselves, you know the plans that you have for us, God. And this is the cry of our heart, Lord. I pray this for every precious person here this morning and every precious soul that watches this online. That you would come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into their difficulties. Come into their situations. Come into the impossible. And would you make things possible like only you can. I pray for those, Lord, who have a distant, broken relationship with you, that would be restored this morning. I thank you that when we leave here today, none of us need to go condemned and feeling broken and down. But we can be encouraged and challenged and motivated as we fix our eyes on Jesus. You give us the ability to endure. Lord, you love us way, way more than we know, and way, way, way more than we love each other. So thank you for your love for us this morning. Let your blessing rest upon every individual here this morning. Your blessing upon every household, every club represented, every family, Lord God. May they experience your goodness. And as we remind us of what you saw on the cross, may we keep our eyes on you, remembering that you're no longer on the cross. You're no longer on the grave. You're risen. You're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. And we bless and thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of the Most High God shouted, Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for coming. We love you dearly. Please feel free to join us for some coffee and tea. I don't know if the coffee shop's open. If not, can crave your coffee or tea at Aaron's Elders. I'm just speaking myself out of a sponge. I'm just kidding. We love you. Fellowship with each other. Thanks for coming. God bless and have an awesome week. Many back up to Fatni.